Thank you. Will you please remain standing yet again for our New Testament reading?
For our New Testament reading, please turn in your copies of the Scriptures to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we will be reading verses 44 through 49. People of God, hear again the Word of God. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. Thus ends the reading and the hearing of the Word of God, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Will you please be seated? This evening I would ask you if you would please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation to chapter 21. And in an incredible display of contrast to what we have just been reading of the abused Son of Man. Now we come to this chapter where it says in chapter 21 of verse 1, Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so we have just read this evening, we've sung of the incredible abuse that the Son of Man suffered at the hands of wicked and sinful men, his brow crowned with thorns, beaten, smitten, and afflicted. And yet now we see him not as the abused and dejected Son of Man suffering, but now we see him crowned with the kingly crown. Now we see him coming down from heaven in the new Jerusalem. Now we see him commanding heaven and earth. Now we see him pronouncing judgment on all those wicked persons who reject him still. But we remember that the Apostle John tells us the reason Jesus came, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Love was the motive, for God so loved the world. Love was the motive of the Father in giving the world his Son, his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And it was the love of the will of the Father for which the Son submitted himself to the agonizing death of the cross. The Father loved the world, and the Son loved the Father. Love of the world moved the Father, and love of the Father moved the Son. The Son said, I have come to do thy will. When he was in the garden in such incredible anguish, praying, Father, I pray thee, that this cup might pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so we see this incredible expression and display of the love of God for the world and giving the world the Son of God. And this incredible expression of love from the Son to the Father, in that he obeyed the will of God even unto death. The death, the agonizing death on the cross. The Father loved the world, and the Son loved the Father. And the love of the Father and the love of the Son is such a powerful force that it has changed the whole world. Ever since then, the world has changed. It's never been the same. The world is messed up. We don't deny that. It's corrupt. It's defiled. It's polluted. It's wicked. It's full of lies. It's full of betrayal. It's full of deceit. It's full of fraud. It's full of backbiting. It's full of hypocrisy and revenge and unkindness and greed and debauchery and concupiscence. Sin is full of sin. It is in our day, and it wasn't Jesus' day. And the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish in his sin, but have eternal life. And the Son obeyed the will of the Father in order to save this fallen race that the Father loved, to set us free from our corruption, to make us better. And this evening, we think of the influence that the love of the Father for the world and the love of the Son for the Father has had in making this world a better place. It's turned this world around. It turned it on its head. We think of the influence this love of the Father for the world and the love of the Son for the Father has had on our lives. We think of the change, the dramatic change it had on our lives. This love of God has taught us to see our sin for what it is in the light of the holiness of God. And in observing the love of the Son for the Father and yielding and submitting his will to the Father's will, we come to see how we are to love the Father by submitting and yielding, bending our wills to his will. And it's made us better. Do you have any regrets? The only regret I have is that I didn't do it sooner in my life. The Christian religion, the entirety of it, is based on the life, the teaching, the death of one man, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And it is that which has become the foundation for this society that we know as the church. And this society that we know as the church, taking its cue from the love of the Father for the world and the love of the Son for the Father, has as its aim the reformation of the world. The love of the Father for the world and the love of the Son for the Father has reformed the world. There's never been a reforming influence the like of this. Nothing. It's remarkable. And so as we take our cue from them, we come to realize that this needs to be our chief ambition, our chief effort, our chief labor in this world is the reformation of a fallen race in the same way that we are reformed. And in this way, the kingdom of God is advanced. And so this evening, as we think of the nature of this reform, we think of the leader of the movement, and we think he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we too hid our faces, as it were, from him. This man of sorrows who came for what purpose? To liberate fallen humanity. We despised him and rejected him. This man of sorrows who came to make known the love of the Father for the world, we hated him, we despised and rejected him. Can you imagine this, dear ones? Can you imagine it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life, and we spit on him, and we beat him, and we rejected him. Can you imagine going to a person with a gift that you've so carefully picked out to demonstrate your love for that person? And when you get to that person and you present this love gift to that person would spit in your face and spit on the gift and then take the gift, and they would hurt it, and they would ruin it, and they would rip it apart and break it. And yet we did. And still, he bore with us in patience, with incredible patience, with remarkable patience, until such time when all of the circumstances of our life had pursued us, until we had run out of all of our ability and resources, until we had nothing left in the tank, in the closet, we had nothing left. And then we turned to him, and he received us. For to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called sons of God. He opened their eyes to see the love of the Father for the world. He opened our eyes to see the love of the Son for the Father. And we saw what it cost him to redeem the world, to redeem us from our sin. And as we saw this, it filled our hearts too with this sense of love, this compelling love, this principle of love that changed our whole outlook on everything. Where once we loved our sin and cherished it and held it close to our breast and nurtured it and nourished it, now we hate that sin and can't believe we ever did that. Because the Holy Spirit of God opened our eyes to that love and our hearts to that principle of love. And as he, in doing so, we were born again. We were born again to a new kingdom and a new life. We were born into the citizenship of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God and of his Christ. And John says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city." Remember, sea is representative of all of the tumult that is caused in the world by sin. "Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.'" He comes to tabernacle with us. He comes to live with us, to take us to live with him. He is near to us. How near to us? Even in our hearts, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in us. "And they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Wonderfully new. Beautifully new. Incredibly new. Altogether new. "And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But this next part is so dreadful, so terrifying, so horrifying, it's hard to even read it. "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." This new kingdom was not formed by flattery. It was not advanced by flattery. Jesus did not come flattering. It was not formed, it was not advanced by Jesus telling men that they were basically good, that they were pretty good. No, He said, you are dead in your trespasses and sins, and unless you are born again, not only will you not inherit the kingdom of God, you won't even see it. He told them the reality of the depth of their sin. And he told them that unless they admitted that reality, unless they turned away from that reality, unless they are born again, they will have no part in the new kingdom and the new Jerusalem. But then consider with me a last thing, dear ones. Cultures are not reformed from the outside in. They're not reformed from the circumference to the center. By contrast, they're reformed from the middle out. We look at our culture and think things have gotten so far out of hand. Yes, even too far out of hand. It's beyond hope. It's too far gone. But the culture of Jesus' day was not better than this one. There were fewer people then, far fewer, that had any awareness of the gospel in the Old Testament. It was a corrupt culture and men hated God then as now. But as we read through the gospel narratives, Jesus did not go first to the multitudes. As he walked on that narrow path and he encountered an individual, he took an interest in that individual. And he told that individual of his sin and how they could lose the burden of that sin. He worked with individuals in reforming the heart, the mind, the will, the principle of the life of that individual. And look what has happened. This world has never been the same. It has affected and impacted every nation of the world. Jesus worked with individuals to get hold of their hearts, their minds, their wills. He had no scheme for having men wake up one morning and looking around and everything was perfect and they were happy. That's not how it went. He told them the gospel of God. And they in turn went to someone and told them what Jesus had told them. And the world was turned. One by one, person by person, in the same way it will now. This is the principle of the leaven that Jesus tells us about. He said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like the leaven. You don't see it working. But all of a sudden, there you have it. My goodness, what's taken place here in this lump of dough? In this thing that was lifeless, it's now alive. This is the reform which alone can make any and all reforms beneficial to humanity. We are living in the midst of a culture that's steeped in evil. It first started to overlook evil. Then it permitted evil. Then it legalized evil. Then it promoted evil. Then it celebrated evil. Then it began to persecute those who still call evil evil. And yet, it is not past the reforming influence of the gospel of God. Because it is more powerful than all the forces of darkness, because it comes from the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. And so one person at a time, you and I must seek to make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The one whose head was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now, and he rules over heaven and earth. And he gives us his strength, his power, his grace. And he says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And to him who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's Friday now. Jesus is praying in anguish in the garden. The disciples sleep a distance off. Jesus is betraying. It's Friday now, but Sunday is coming. And all of God's people said, amen. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we look and to our eyes, it appears as though there is so much darkness and wickedness, there is so much evil on every hand, that it is out of hand, that it is something that is past reclamation. And yet, Lord, that's the song of unbelief. That is fear and death. But we know the truth, that you are the living God, that you are the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you have come to make all things new. And I pray, Father, that we as your disciples, that we would take up that call, and that we too would seek to make all things new, that you would reinvigorate us, Lord, that you would re-life us, that we would once again tell forth the good news of the gospel of God with vigor. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.